sporty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The National Basketball Association will hold its 66th annual All-Star Game on Sunday in the southern U.S. city of New Orleans, Louisiana. The popular exhibition contest will be played at Smoothie King Center, a multi-purpose indoor arena and the home of the NBA's New Orleans Pelicans Club. Joining us now to talk about the All-Star Game and some of the NBA's top storylines this season is Dan Friedell of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Sonny. Good to be here chatting with you. We've turned the corner into 2017. The Super Bowl is over, and looking forward to the second half of the NBA season and the Major League Baseball season getting started. I hear some birds chirping in the background. It might be spring.
Spring around the corner, and the NBA All-Star Game is around the corner, Dan. What can you tell our Voice of America listeners about the players who will be starting in the All-Star Game?
Well, the best players in the NBA are no secret. This Sunday's game is going to have Kyrie Irving, LeBron James in the Eastern Conference. Other star players like Paul George will be a reserve for the Eastern Conference. The mighty mini man of Boston, Isaiah Thomas, will be in the mix. In the Western Conference, you have really, you might argue there are five of the six best players in the NBA in the starting lineup for the Western Conference with Steph Curry, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and Anthony Davis. Interestingly, Russell Westbrook, who's having arguably the best season of the year, he's the best player so far this season. Perhaps he's having the best season in like 30 years. He's a reserve for the Western Conference team. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys play. The NBA All-Star Game is typically a very high-scoring affair with not so much defense like you'll see in the regular season.
Now, Westbrook, as you mentioned, having a fantastic season. James Harden, I think he and Westbrook might be leading the NBA in triple-doubles. The fact that they're both guards, Dan, does that point to how maybe the style of basketball has changed in the NBA, that it's more guard-oriented?
Oh, sure. I mean, you go back to the days of Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and players like the Admiral, we had Hakeem Olajuwon, we had all these tall players setting the standard. Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan, those kinds of players setting the standard in the NBA. And now you have guys like Harden and Westbrook. You have an extremely athletic player like Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks.
You pronounced his name right, Dan.
I've been practicing for 3 years since I first heard of him. I mean, Giannis is a great story. His family immigrated to Greece from Nigeria. He was born in Greece, and people call him the Greek Freak.
The Greek Freak. I like that.
He's almost 7 feet tall, but he plays with a smaller man's style. He can handle the ball coming up the court, make good passes. He's a good shooter. He's really an outstanding all-around player. Looking at the stats here, he's got 22 double-doubles on the season, and double-double might be known as a as a burger in California. But a double-double means having at least 10 points and 10 rebounds or 10 points and 10 assists in the game. He's a great player to watch, and everybody was oohing and aahing about his slam dunk the other day, one of these signature dunks of taking off from the foul line and dunking, flying through the air for 15 feet or so before he dunked the ball. Pretty amazing athlete. He's a great guy to watch. And another player who has this ability to play up and down the floor, all parts of the game, is Anthony Davis from the host New Orleans Pelicans. Davis was an outstanding player in college, and he's transitioned to the NBA pretty well. He has 36 double-doubles on the season. He's averaging 27, almost 28 points per game, and 12 rebounds per game. But he's still way behind Harden and Westbrook. Harden has had a rejuvenated season. I mean, he's already a young guy, so not to say rejuvenated per se, but he's thriving in the new system in Houston. Almost 30 points a game and 11 assists and almost 10 rebounds. He's having an outstanding season too. So I wouldn't say that some of these star players that we're used to seeing, like Steph Curry and James and Kevin Durant, are passing the torch, but it looks like the cabinet is full for the future. These guys who are getting a little bit older, LeBron, I mean, he's still relatively young, but he's got a lot of mileage playing six consecutive NBA finals, playing in the Olympics. You know, he's going to be a great player for a number of years still to come. But one of the things that Cleveland Cavaliers fans are worried about is that he's playing too many minutes if the Cavs are going to make a run through the playoffs. Tyronn Lue, the Cavs coach, is going to have to figure out a way for him to rest a little bit. That's going to be a hard thing, because one of their other best players, also an all-star level player, Kevin Love, injured his knee, and he's going to be out for a while. So the Cavs, even though they're the first place team in the Eastern Conference, have some questions ahead for them. It'll be interesting to see how they manage the next 30 games or so.
Dan, with Kevin Love out of the lineup, at least for now, how do you think that affects Cleveland's chances to repeat as NBA champions?
Well, it's one of those things that's like a blessing and a curse, right? I mean, the Cavs might not finish with the best record in the East. Right now, they're a couple games ahead of the Boston Celtics and our local team just across the mall at the Verizon Center, the Washington Wizards. They're having an amazing season after having a really rough start. I think they only won two or three out of their first 10 or 11 games. Now they're 34-21. They've won 9 out of 10. The only game that they've lost out of those 10 was this outrageous overtime game that they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers a little more than a week ago.
Great game. Maybe the best regular season game so far.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there was a lot of hype going into last weekend's game with Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City for a primetime game, going back to see his fans that had supported him so much when the team moved from Seattle to Oklahoma City right at the beginning of his career. The team made a finals with him and just missed going to the finals last year with him. Then he goes to Golden State to join already an all-star level team, and he's fit in quite well with Golden State. The Warriors are 47-9 here. They're challenging, you know, for one of the best records of all time in the NBA. The Warriors came in and had no trouble with Oklahoma City. That was a big hyped game, but the Cleveland-Washington game was outstanding. And the fact that the Wizards didn't win that game was a big shocker, because the last play of the game with a couple seconds left, LeBron got the ball, took a step back. Some people thought he might have been out of bounds, but he launched a shot and off the backboard and in to tie the game with a three-pointer.
Banked right in.
And then the other shocking thing in that game was that LeBron fouled out early in the overtime, and the Cavs, Kyrie Irving, Tristan Thompson, players like that, managed to get the win. But the Cavs, you know, going forward, there's no doubt that they're one of the best teams in the East. They'll probably be able to handle these other teams in the playoffs. I don't know if it's especially relevant if they finish the regular season with the number one or number two seed. The good thing is that you have a player like Kevin Love. If he can come back from his knee surgery, he'll be fresh. So the main thing really is to see, well, maybe they just decide they're going to give LeBron some more time off. And if they lose a couple games here and there, it's not the end of the world. As long as they're fresh in May, you know, late April, counts. May, and June, that's what counts.
You mentioned that shot by LeBron that forced overtime here in Washington, Dan. Does that get your pick as shot of the season so far?
Oh, for sure. I mean, last year, everybody was talking about the Steph Curry three-pointer that he made as the game was running out to beat Oklahoma City in a big game. He shot it just on the other side of half court. That game looked like the Wizards had won. The Wizards had just made a great shot to go ahead by three. And, you know, some people were saying, oh, whoever gets the ball for Cleveland, they just need to foul him before he takes the shot. Then he'll only get two free throws. But what happened was Kevin Love made a great pass all the way down the court, put it high up in the air like a quarterback throwing to a wide receiver. LeBron was the only guy who could get the ball. And he turned around. He made an amazing shot. It's for sure the best shot of the year.
You mentioned those magical Wizards, Dan. And I know you follow the Cleveland teams, but I do show my allegiance to the Wizards. They're being coached this season by Scott Brooks, who formerly coached Kevin Durant and James Harden with the Oklahoma City Thunder. How much credit do you give Coach Brooks with this turnaround by the Wizards?
Well, you have to give him a ton of credit. The team started off slow. There were a lot of comments about whether the Wizards bench players were going to make any contribution this year at all. One of the starting players, Marcin Gortat, was saying, we have the worst bench in the NBA.
That's right.
The Polish hammer doesn't hold back when he makes his comments. Now the Wizards' top five players, their starting five players, Gortat, Bradley Beal, John Wall, Markieff Morris, and
Otto Porter,
they're all averaging double figures. Porter is the number one three-point shooter in the NBA. He made 5 three-pointers last night in the first quarter alone. He's turned into an outstanding player. I mean, the question is whether the Wizards are going to be able to bring Otto Porter back next year because he'll be a free agent and demand a pretty big contract for the fact that he's contributing in points and rebounds and assists, and he's got the highest three-point shooting percentage in the league. I mean, Brooks's system is obviously working. I'm not sure what kind of magic he's got going on in the practices, but the players are buying in. I mean, if you remember at the beginning of the year, there was a story that said John Wall and Bradley Beal don't like each other.
That's right. They don't get along with each other.
And here they are setting each other up for great shots. Beal's making the three-pointers. Wall is, you know, driving in and dishing off to the big guys. It's such an exciting team to watch, and I've been at a number of the games, and it's a great atmosphere.
I'm talking with Dan Friedell of the Voice of America's Learning English Department about the NBA. Let's take a short break for these VOA programming announcements.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa. Every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Hi, my name is Florence Mwale, and I work as a reporter at Capital FM here in Malawi. With the world now a global village, the VOA's place cannot be overemphasized, since most of the issues it airs are pertinent to the advancement of least developed countries such as Malawi. All of us here at Cabaret Radio Malawi are thrilled to be associated with the VOA as a partner station. Some of VOA's programs on our schedule include Straight Talk Africa and Daybreak Africa. As Cabaret Radio Malawi, we are excited to be associated with the VOA. And now, as the VOA celebrates its 75th anniversary, we look forward to more live radio interactions and strengthened relations. Happy 75th anniversary, Voice of America, from Capital Radio Malawi.
Thanks, Florence, and thanks, Capital Radio Malawi, for your partnership with the Voice of America. I'm talking with Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department about Sunday's NBA All-Star Game and some of the developments in the league this season. As we look ahead to Sunday, Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics will coach the Eastern Conference All-Stars, and Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors will coach the Western Conference All-Stars. Dan, Kerr has made no secret about his opposition to President Trump and some of his policies. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it has been interesting to see how the NBA teams have reacted to Trump since his inauguration and even before. Players like Steph Curry have talked about it, and coaches like Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs, along with Steve Kerr, have discussed how the organizations that they're a part of and the league that they're a part of is such a international group now, and with a lot of the issues that have been put forward by the Trump White House, it doesn't seem conducive to having a good relationship with the NBA. I mean, just looking at the All-Star weekend coming up, you have one of the secondary events is called the Rising Stars Challenge, and it's an exhibition game between young players from the USA and young players from the rest of the world. And you have players like Joel Embiid from Cameroon. You have Dante Exum from Australia. You have Emmanuel Mudiay, who's from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Kristaps Porzingis of the New York Knicks, who's from Latvia. You have this huge mixture of players, along with the huge African-American influence and the Trump White House and some of its policies toward immigrants and policies toward minorities in the U.S. A lot of the rhetoric during the campaign didn't sit well with these coaches who have a sense of where they are in the world. And they're, you know, if you think about it, Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich are white coaches, they're leading these young men who are very multicultural from all over the world and parts of the U.S. that Trump has not offered a lot of support for. And Kerr and Popovich and Steph Curry have all spoken out in their own ways about what they've been hearing from Trump. It'll be interesting to see what the relationship is going forward. I mean, for example, we've already heard that some of the New England Patriots players who just won the Super Bowl are not going to come to the White House for the traditional reception between the president and the victorious teams of the major sports in the U.S. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes forward.
Finally, Dan, you mentioned some of these other events surrounding the All-Star Game. What other, maybe some details about what other basketball-related activities we have on hand in New Orleans?
So in addition to the Rising Stars game, there's a celebrity game. The assistant coaches on the celebrity game will be Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors and Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors. There's a skills challenge. There's a three-point contest. That'll be a fun thing to watch. That's always an exciting shooting exhibition with players like Klay Thompson and Kyrie Irving all involved. Surprising that neither Otto Porter nor Bradley Beal from the Wizards, the key three-point shooters, are involved in that. And then, the signature event of the All-Star Weekend 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, let's say 30 years ago, with, Dominique Wilkins and Spud Webb and Michael Jordan, was the dunk contest. And a lot of players aren't that excited about dunking anymore. People love watching that. Zach LaVine had an exciting dunk a couple years ago, but that's kind of fallen a little bit secondary in the All-Star Weekend festivities. But there's a lot of stuff going on in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center. So it'll be a fun weekend regardless.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is the Voice of America's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski. Happy Friday, Andrew.
Happy Friday, Sunny. Good to be here with you and Dan.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending out there in the sports world?
Well, a lot of talk about this All-Star weekend in the NBA. And as Dan just mentioned, it's not just the All-Star game. There's other activities going on. And each one of them has its own hashtag. It seems like everything has to have a hashtag these days. It's not just that you watch it on TV. You have to interact with it on social media as well. So for the whole NBA All-Star Weekend, we have hashtag NBA All-Star, of course. But then tonight, hashtag NBA Celeb Game, which Dan was just talking about. And then hashtag State Farm Saturday. That's the other thing I've noticed. Everything has to have a corporate sponsor, too. Anytime they can make money off these things, they will try to do that. So hashtag State Farm Saturday tomorrow is going to be the Taco Bell Skills Challenge, hashtag Taco Bell Skills. The JBL three-point contest, which is hashtag JBL3PT. Shorten that. They didn't put point. They just put 3PT. And the Verizon Slam Dunk contest, hashtag Verizon Dunk. Now, in addition to all those hashtags, you also have the East and West Conference players getting their own emojis when you use their names as hashtags. So okay. We have, for example, Kevin Durant. We use hashtag Kevin Durant has a KD that pops up after his name. James Harden, hashtag James Harden, as we've talked about, the best beard in all of basketball. It's kind of a side profile shot of him with the long beard. Similarly, hashtag Anthony Davis, you get his kind of facial hair and the one eyebrow stretching across
the unibrow,
exactly. And then so that's the West, and then in the East you have hashtag LeBron James. You get a throne, of course, because he is King James.
The king James.
And my favorite, Giannis Antetokounmpo. If you want to use
you
hashtag,
were close, Andrew.
I was close. I tried, but if you they were kind though. You can use his full name, or you can just do hashtag Giannis. So you can just use the shortened version if you want to do that. But another name doesn't have a hashtag associated with it, but one potentially to look out for. A lot of people on social media talking about Derek Jones Jr. Now, Derek Jones Jr. just turned 20 years old, plays for the Phoenix Suns. He's only played about 24 minutes, only scored 11 points, but he's qualified for the Verizon Slam Dunk Contest. And several people, several analysts and a lot of fans are thinking he might actually win this whole thing. And if he does, he will be the first undrafted player to win the slam dunk contest. Already we're seeing video of him practicing going up on social media. The Phoenix Suns put out a nice produced video where they're promoting him and trying to get people hyped up. And one tweet I saw said, Derek Jones could be the best dunker you've never seen. So it's potentially a great opportunity for him, too, this weekend to get out there in front of a bunch of people, maybe collect several more fans out there who will now know his name after the slam dunk contest. So a lot of people pulling for him and hoping he does well with that contest on Saturday night. State Farm Saturday.
Any other NBA topics trending, Andrew?
Well, there's one from the NCAA, which is, of course, the college basketball. And this is something that happened earlier this week. President Donald Trump was asked by ESPN, the sports network here in the U.S., to fill out a bracket on air, and he declined. Now, this is something that started by President Obama back in 2010, where he went on ESPN and filled out his bracket and walked the analysts through his picks. But President Trump this year said he's not going to do that. Now, there's a lot of back and forth about why that is. Some people saying he's afraid that he'll pick the wrong team and he'll lose. Other people saying, he has more important things to focus on than just picking these teams. He is running the country after all as president. The point of winning and losing, President Obama, the closest he ever got, he picked a team that got to the Final Four, which was Kentucky in 2015. Most of the years his teams lost in either the fourth or third round. I will say he did pick Kansas three times, so I do give him credit for that, for going with the Kansas Jayhawks, although they never did win in any of the times that he picked them. But as we focus on the NBA this weekend, a good reminder that the March Madness basketball tournament's coming up too. So a lot of basketball going on for the next month in the U.S.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And thanks also to Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department. And that wraps up the February 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As the emergency in the south of Madagascar continues into the lean season between harvests, the United States government has donated an additional $2.7 million to emergency relief. There are still nearly a million desperate people who don't have enough to eat. Right now, as we head into the heart of the lean season, when people are suffering the most is when more action is needed by all parties, said U.S. Ambassador Robert Yamate. Ambassador Yamate stressed the importance of a formal emergency declaration from Madagascar, which could open up more options for the international community to respond and provide more aid for relief efforts. The funds were provided by USAID's Office of Food for Peace and will be used to buy food supplies, including rice and green peas, to be distributed to communities without enough to eat. Since 2014, the United States government has been the leading contributor to emergency assistance in southern Madagascar, providing over $39 million of assistance and food supplies. Through USAID, the U.S. government has funded the work of Catholic Relief Services, the World Food Program, the Adventist Development and Relief Agencies, and others. These organizations have also worked together to ensure that relief efforts are coordinated and have supported each other to cover any gaps in food supplies. Through these organizations, the U.S. is funding the delivery of life-saving food aid, seeds to grow new crops, farm supplies and tools, livestock and training in animal husbandry, and specialized nutritious supplements to prevent starvation among malnourished children and pregnant and lactating women. The late arrival of rains is expected to delay the harvest season by another 5 to 8 weeks, and additional support is needed to carry these communities through this extended lean season, said USAID Mission Director Michelle Godet. The $2.7 million we have announced will be provided to the World Food Program and will allow them to continue activities that are feeding 260,000 people daily.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, music lovers. Dumelang. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in this Sunday for a full hour of killin' tunes from Africa and from the African diaspora. We're talking from Fela to Tuku, from Flavor and Wizkid to Bonga. I've got the best music from the continent, and it's all for your listening pleasure. This Sunday, 1500 and 2000 UTC, right here, don't touch that dial, on Music Time in Africa.
Yes, they must talk, oh, now them get their mouth.
Oh, yeah, the man.
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Modou will have an exclusive interview with Melinda Gates, co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, on some progress made in global development and remaining challenges.
For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Else chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.